Anyone living with diabetes knows how difficult tracking your glucose levels can be. That's where Dexcom's G6 Continuous Glucose Monitor comes in. Here's Dexcom CEO Kevin Sayer.
Somebody managing their diabetes prior to CGM would stick their finger anywhere between 4 and 8 or 12 times a day if they're really trying to manage their blood glucose values. And with that finger prick, all you get is a number.
With the G6 system, you get glucose readings sent right to your smart device or receiver with zero finger pricks.
We get a glucose reading every 5 minutes automatically.
That tells you where your glucose levels are heading, and that makes managing your diabetes very easy.
We just see a tremendous improvement in overall healthcare. A1Cs go down, time spent high decreases, time spent low decreases. And not only is everybody happier, they get healthier as well.
Make knowledge your superpower with the Dexcom G6 Continuous Glucose Monitoring System. Learn more at Walgreens or at Dexcom.com. Welcome back into tomorrow. I'm Dave Graveline. Thanks for joining us. Even more importantly, we thank you for joining us when you do call in and participate on the program. Not just because Cameron reminds you to call in and win stuff, but because that's the key. You make the show. When you join us with your question, your comment, your tech rage, your concern, maybe even some help for another listener, we love those calls as well. Then you make the program, and that's what it's all about. We want to hear from you. So let us solve your digital dilemmas anytime, 24/7. You can either call the 800 number that I'm about to give you. Here, I've got a pen. Ready? Or you can use the audio option on the free Into Tomorrow app. Just search those two words in your favorite app store, Into Tomorrow. I'm sure you already have the Into Tomorrow app. But if you don't, be sure and snag it. And then use that audio option. It says message the studio, and it's very easy to do. Or 800-899-4686 anytime. 800-899-INTO. Our next guest provides forecasts on business and economic trends, as well as what to expect from Washington. Boy, there's a job. He's the senior associate editor of the Kiplinger Letter, John Miley. John, welcome into tomorrow. How you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you. I ran across a great article that you recently wrote, and I said, we've got to get John on the show because you hit the nail on the head on so many issues. In this case, we're talking about your article entitled 12 Ways COVID-19 Will Change the Tech Industry. And boy, it's changing life for all of us as we know it, but most certainly the tech industry as well. Let's talk about the impact that COVID-19 has had on this industry.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that's very obvious to people is working from home, online traffic is up. So we were looking at the idea that even more of daily life will take place online and trying to think of different ways that might not be as obvious. I mean, if you haven't downloaded your insurance app or your banking app, people will do that. Obviously, people are doing a lot more video calls, e-commerce, signing up for more accounts than they ever thought about. We also think that people might consider backup Wi-Fi hotspots from the cellular carrier. They might upgrade their internet speeds at home. And I think a lot of those things are going to be long-lasting if people are going to either expect they're going to be working from home more often or just want to do it just in case that's going to be what's going to happen.
And I think, John, some of the things that you talk about, as you just mentioned, even maybe we don't even think about, you know, I think a lot of our audience listening right now is thinking, oh my gosh, you're right. I really need to download my banking app that I would normally just do on my desktop at work or something because that's where I've done it. Or you know, the insurance app. It's like, yeah, what if I need something like that? You should do it now. And without wanting to jinx any of us, frankly, I'm a little surprised that the internet has held up the way it has up to now with so much more activity, especially the bandwidth being consumed with everybody streaming video.
Yeah, and I think that will continue to be the case. I've written some stories and talked to people about that just our networks in general are designed to handle peak traffic at nighttime. So even if there's peak traffic throughout the day, they're still doing well. You might see the Zoom video conference meeting downgraded, maybe the quality of the video. But otherwise, things are holding up, and I think that's going to continue to happen.
One of your key points in your Kiplinger letter talks about the digitization for even the last holdouts. And you show perhaps a somewhat elderly woman with a pen and paper who's now in front of her computer. And I think that's hitting that nail on the head again, too, about how daily life changing for all people. And certainly the elderly are having to deal with some things perhaps they haven't dealt with in terms of using their tech.
Yeah, for sure. And for me, when you mentioned the insurance app, that was the thing that I was like, well, geez, I should download this. But there certainly are, when they do studies or they do polling, there's still people that are holdouts. And this is sort of, I mean, you can't leave the house. You got to figure out different ways to do all sorts of stuff, whether you haven't signed up for your online DMV processing, stuff like that. I think that's what's going to push people. And in some ways, this could be good for the local, well, again, this is a huge tragedy, but for the local small business, that people are going to download that app if it's a delivery place, and they haven't yet, so people will be more ready in the future.
And one of the other effects that you see as being a result of COVID is certainly a lot more computers, printers, other consumer IT gear, if you will. In this case, IT doesn't stand for Into Tomorrow, but information technology gear that will see a prolonged spike in interest. It certainly will once we get over this and we can actually go out and shop for more stuff. In the meantime, shopping online, if companies are going to ship a computer to you, you need a new laptop or something, maybe now's the time anyway, hopefully.
Yeah, and I think some people were seeing that in my business too, people that needed to, oh geez, I don't have the right computer at home. And you saw a sales spike, I think early March, late February, where people sort of started shifting to remote work, everyone that could, that had sort of office jobs. And like Dell saw a little bit of an increase in PC sales in the first quarter of this year. But now what you're talking about is right. People can't go out and shop. So I think once things get back to a slightly new normal, you'll see again another spike of people wanting to prepare their home offices or their homes with better equipment, whether that's a bigger screen or a new laptop.
I like how you snuck in the new normal. I'm using the air quotes because that is what it's going to be in many aspects of our lives. And again, certainly how technology plays a role too. It's going to still be a new normal regardless.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the other thing I mentioned is the biometric fingerprint readers seeing a decline. And I would add to that any panels, whether it's touchscreen panels that you order at a restaurant, or airline kiosks or things like that, people might start using their mobile phones more often. Maybe companies will need to focus more on how their mobile apps work. They might need to clean them more often. But it, in terms of biometrics, you'll see more contact-free facial recognition and iris detection. Mm. So companies that build that type of thing and those methods will see an increased interest, I think.
Yeah, in fact, my son, Chris, was talking about he never thought he'd be going to the public supermarket and having to just use the app on his phone, but realizes he doesn't have to touch that keypad anymore. He doesn't have to punch in his PIN or anything else because it doesn't even have to put a credit card into a slot and then punch in a zip code or any of that because obviously stores, and I've been doing this with my Target app for, I don't know, as long as they've offered it, where just scan the app on my phone. I don't touch anything. And that was long before the pandemic. But now more and more people are saying, well, this is where technology is making a difference. And why wouldn't we be doing this moving forward into tomorrow, not just now?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And it's some of those things that, like, if you use them, you realize that they work pretty well.
Yeah.
But it was sort of, how do you get a mass of people to start using this? And this is definitely the type of event that could change the way people do things like that.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but again, another maybe advantage in the long run of this. What's happening like in the robotics industry? Is do you think that's becoming more active as a result of COVID-19?
Yeah, one of the things I looked at was the idea that industrial robots, anything that you'd see in a factory for automation, will be hurt in the short term because of declining sales and manufacturers not operating and supply chain having issues. But in the long term, I think there'll be more investment in this for businesses that can do it. We're wanting to prepare with more automation. And sometimes in industrial robotics, there are applications that manufacturers are hesitant to use because the return on investment takes a long time or they're really expensive. So they might be interested in new applications that they previously were more hesitant on if they could prevent this or help sort of improve things without having to use as many people in different processes.
Certainly other good points. And you say maybe in the short term, it's not going to be a great business, but in the long run, it's certainly going to pick up more so, and how more things will be automated. I mean, look what's happened, again, even long before the pandemic, with fewer and fewer people working in McDonald's and Burger King, and you have to go in and use a kiosk. Well, now nobody wants to touch the thing, even if you can go in. But in the future, the same thing applies. I mean, I always use the knuckle. And, you know, it just because who knows what's on that screen, right? And we see that whole opportunity, I think, similar. You know, I mean, before the pandemic, I was ordering Taco Bell with my phone, too, just so I could drive through and pick it all up because it was convenient. Well, now you have to do that if you want that kind of a fast food.
Yeah, and some of the robots that they... you can have robots that bring around medicine and meals and supplies to patients, and they have some of those at hotels too. So things like that, those are things that just people and consumers could see for physical robots, and then whatever robotics they would use in warehouses that are around people, all that type of thing, there's definitely going to be more interest in.
John, let me interrupt just for a couple of moments. Let us pay a couple of bills. There's so much more we want to talk about. We're talking with John Miley, the Senior Associate Editor for Kiplinger, here on Into Tomorrow. Stay tuned.